So as we were saying before I hit record.
What now? We were talking about pay.
Yes, we were talking about pay and making adjustments to people's pay. So let's say you were overpaying somebody.
Now, overpaying. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a conversation we were literally just having prior to him record. But, okay, so let's say you're overpaying one of your employees. And when we say overpaying, we're going to say the going rate for this position in your area is $13 an hour, and you're paying them $17 an hour. Once you realize that, when my question was, why can't you go back and adjust it? And says, because you'll get sued.
I believe that if you have a reasonable reason for going forward, I'm not saying go back in time and recoup the money.
I don't know.
But going forward, you have supporting evidence, like you've done some type of compensation study, you've researched the industry, the market, the region for the going rate of this type of position. I don't see why you couldn't make a, what is it, prospective adjustment to the salary or the pay.
And if
that employee no longer wants to accept that pay, fuck them.
Absolutely right. And I 100% agree. But as I am want to say all the time, people get sued and will sue for anything.
That's fine.
And considering that the people that
and you can't discriminate. It got to be all across the board. Because then you opening yourself up.
Exactly
to
right. So if,
or by age.
If you are, and it's basically, for me, it's based on skill, education, experience, right? Mm-hmm. So you do that, you cut the pay.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, people, we live in a very litigious society. And as far as courts go, they tend to err on the side of the worker.
Yeah, most of the time, they're very pro-worker.
Exactly.
So a lot of the laws in the book are
so
pro-worker.
So what would the suit, what type of suit would we be looking at if you were making $6 an hour more than the industry standard?
I don't know. It wouldn't be any sort of wage and hour suit. It would probably be something like breach of contract.
Which, if there is a contract.
Right. We are an at-will state. Absolutely. But when you talk about equitable subjects, so it'd probably be some sort of suit in equity or even though we are an at-will state, we don't have an employment contract per se, but there's some paperwork that you sign that governs the way the employer-employee relationship actually will go. So
that's,
I mean,
some bullshit, man.
That's real.
But I'd say fire them then. Can't you fire them?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want. See, so that's the thing.
You can, at will, you can
said
fire
at
them,
will,
right?
And it is. You can fire them for cause or just because.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me ask you
this. Well, the only thing you can't fire them for is because they are too old, unless their age actually inhibits them or prohibits them from carrying out aspects of the job that are essential to that job.
Right. Or there's, I forget what the correct term was, but like a bona fide qualification or mm-hmm. something like that. Like if you're a model and they have a specific demographic that they are targeting and you get too old,
mm-hmm.
You know, for that particular demographic, that's right. a bona fide reason for them to, in a way, discriminate against you.
Right.
So we've seen this before. I'm sure all of us have seen this before. When an employer wants to get rid of you, they don't necessarily want to fire you, but they want you to quit.
Mm-hmm.
So they make your work environment a little irritating, to mm-hmm. say the least.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do things like, let's say, taking a full-time employee and cutting their hours to part-time, mm-hmm. is there any recourse for that?
Mm-mm.
So, okay, so if you're running a business now and you want to get rid of an employee, you might not want to say, hey, you're fired because you're scared, not scared, but you don't want the recourse, then you're right. sitting you in the unemployment.
You
want them to quit
so you right. make their work life hell. So, like, changing their hours, the time that they're supposed to get there. So, mm-hmm. say you used to get there at 9, now I want you to get there at 7, and I have a legitimate reason for you to be there at 7, and then you constantly come late.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can definitely fire you because
you didn't adhere to the policy.
Right, you're constantly late.
Hmm. So, rather than just adjusting the pay to meet the industry standards, we'd be looking at the easiest way for an employer to handle this is to either fire or make the person quit.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, making somebody quit is not that hard.
No, it's not. I've seen 3 people quit this year.
Right. Shit. It's like, it is not that hard to get someone to quit.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Black Law and Legal Lies.
We kind of got into it a little early tonight. Right.
Yeah, well, right. That was actually something we were talking about prior to hitting record. And I'm like, yo, that'd be some dope shit to actually record. My name is Dan. I am one of your hosts. You can keep up with me on Twitter and IG at I Am Dan on Drugs. Keep up with the show across all platforms at Black Law Podcast. And check out the Pink Floyd, baby. Pink Floyd. The Wall. That's what they
if
call me.
If you don't know, Google it.
Bitches.
This is Afro Becky. Welcome to another episode of Black Law and Legal Lies. I wanted to personally welcome you and thank you for joining us on this conversation.
And she came in fired up too, you have the ability to get rid of the agility and the. That's what I.
You know what? Shut up, Jailbird. Anyway, and I'm just Dan, and you can follow me. At ITellLegalize on Twitter.
And that's
you really
it.
Can. And you really can. You can inbox me too. I really answer. That's real.
Sure she does.
I do. I converse.
Poor Robin Slim. They're still sitting in jail waiting on their legal advice.
Whatever.
Yo, whatever. So if any of you, this is going to be a quickie, but if any of you, and I tell that to all the women, it's going to be a quickie. This has never happened before. Mm.
Lord, there you go, lying again. Okay.
If you follow me on social media, you'll see I posted a while back that I got a jury duty summons. And the way I got it was because I...
The jump off button.
I technically never received any jury duty notices a day in my life.
Ever.
Ever. And so I guess they had sent them out to me. I just never received them. So this time they wanted to make sure that I received it. So after doing some research, getting online, they said my last two jury duties, I was a no-show. And I'm like, when the fuck did I have jury duty?
And so, also, that was news to me that they even tracked that stuff.
Oh, they track if you're not there because you're supposed to be there.
Oh, yeah. They track.
So basically, I never got the letters. Wink, wink.
Yeah.
And so Popo jumped out on me and is like, freeze, nigger. Here's your fucking jury duty notice. And I'm like, yes, sir. So I'm mad.
All jokes aside, the jump out boys showed up at his house.
See, I think I have a theory that they were watching the house. They had
all
to
I know
been.
Is
why would they be watching the
I
house?
Thought that dude was lying. Sent a text message talking about cops rolled up on him at the house. And I'm like, they don't do that for jury duty.
But look, this happened after I left for work.
Right.
Oh, no, they were looking for him.
Yeah,
they knew.
And the thing is,
they were looking for him.
Like, I talked about the whole situation beginning to end on A Few Screws Loose because it pissed me off. Because I'm like, yo, they woke me up at, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not a morning person. They banging on the door. It sounded like they was trying to break in. And I'm like, I'm vaguely hearing stuff. And I'm like, fuck going on? So anyway, woke me up. I go outside and it's like 7 something in the morning. Mr. Dan? Yeah. I couldn't even, it was too early for my brain to lie. Because usually I would have been like, He ain't here. He offshore. He'll be back in May. What can I help you? That's my landlord. So anyway, hand me my jury duty. And I'm like, still wiping crust out my mouth. I'm like, what the fuck? So I'm mad. And I'm like, first thing I did, sat down, Google, how to get out of jury duty. And to be honest, the only reason that I can't, there's two reasons I can't do it. One, I have mental issues, which a lot of you know. Two, it was at 8:30 in the fucking morning. I can't even make it to my toilet at 8:30 in the morning.
Gotta change the sheets every fucking day.
Every day. Shit to bed. That's my life story. Shit to bed. So I'm like, I ain't gonna be able to. I can't do it. I just can't do it. So I started looking up. Okay. A lot of people go in. They get to the jury pool. And I'm like, uh-uh. I can't even make it to the jury pool. So... And what they'll do is they'll hand you a question. What they'll do is they'll hand you a questionnaire. You fill out some shit and then they ask you a bunch of questions. And then towards the end, they'll ask, is there any reason that you cannot serve? And then that's when you're supposed to raise your hand in front of a group of probably what? A couple hundred people, maybe 100 people or
not,
so.
Not 100 people that
out of a couple hundred, they pick.
Yeah.
X amount.
Mm-hmm.
So in front of a group of people, you're supposed to stand up and say, I am mentally ill.
Deficient.
I should not be here. I am on psychiatric medication. Like, getting up in front of a group of people to say that shit.
I'm so drugged out. I can't even know. Yeah, I don't even know my own name.
Your Honor. Your Honor. What y'all do with the evidence, though, bruh? So, I'm like, all right, I got it. So, some of the things I saw prior to getting a letter from my psychiatrist were, dress like a fucking idiot. Then I guess the courts caught on to that and they started choosing the people who dressed like idiots.
Correct.
So then the other thing was like, wear t-shirts that say shit, inappropriate shit on there. They started in certain places forcing. They kept changes of clothes. They kept t-shirts at the courthouse.
Correct.
Put this on.
Correct.
So, and then there was the whole tell somebody I could tell just by looking at somebody if they guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that's what they want.
They will pick you. That's correct. So
there was a lot of urban legends and different things that people use to get out of jury duty. But the one I found most interesting.
Jury nullification.
Jury nullification. Would you mind explaining that to the people?
So basically, jury nullification is this theory that you can do or say something that would totally make this case or lead to a mistrial in this case.
So would you say like a bias, a personal bias against the defendant?
Well, not necessarily. It is, I will go against the letter of the law and go with my moral judgment, I guess. I think that's the way I saw it.
Well, it's so, like I said, something, doing or saying something that will lead to a mistrial. So basically, as Dan said, say the law and the evidence would lead even Stevie Wonder to see that maybe they've proved manslaughter as opposed to murder. But you say it does not, basically it doesn't matter what the evidence says. I am going to say why. You know, I know that it should be X. I will say Y regardless because I am opposed to the law, anything legal, X, Y, and Z. That is not the way you want to go.
So
that is easily a contempt of court.
In reading that, right? So I'm like, I love reading Reddit. And so I'm browsing Reddit and I keep seeing jury nullification. So I look it up. And like one dude was like, yo, I stood up when they asked if I cannot serve on a jury. I raised my hand and I asked, can you explain to me what jury nullification is? They dismissed him immediately, or as our people say, immediately. So then I'm like, okay, well, let me read up on that, see what it is. I read the definition. So then I came across a case where two guys were out in Colorado. They were out front of a courthouse passing out pamphlets on jury nullification, explaining what it is, what it means, and if it would apply to you, whatnot. They got arrested. Mm. So that's just one case. They got arrested. I'm going to leave that there for now. And then there was another case where someone did what the other dude did. They stood up and asked about jury nullification. Rather than being dismissed, he was arrested on the spot for jury tampering. Wow. How the fuck is that jury tampering? If the jury is unaware of something that they should be aware of, how are you tampering with the jury?
No. So what juror knows anything about jury nullification?
All of them should, but most of us don't. Because
why shouldn't they?
Yeah,
why should
they? Exactly. Though? Like,
did you know what jury nullification was?
Not exclusively.
But I'm saying, why should the regular Joe,
if I'm going to be a jury,
on the street, even if you're trying to be a juror, even if you are on, why would you know anything about jury nullification?
Because you did research on Reddit on how to get out of jury duty.
Right. So someone other than a Dan on drugs who is 1,000% opposed, not necessarily to being on the jury, but being anywhere around the courthouse and a bunch of people, he told
at 8 in the morning.
You know what I'm saying? So why would anybody know anything about that? I mean, you are technically impeding the process of justice.
Not necessarily. Yes. Because you don't have all the information.
You know, you like, are.
Like,
because
ignorance is not, what they say, ignorance is not an excuse.
It's not.
So I don't want to be ignorant. And I feel as if every juror should not be ignorant to jury nullification. So I saw that and that just took me down this rabbit hole. And I found numerous cases, and there's actually a lot that these organizations are working on. Like the two guys, their defense was First Amendment. Bitch, I could stand in front of the courthouse and hand out papers explaining to these jurors what their rights are and what certain aspects of being a juror is. So I just thought that was like crazy that so many people do so much to try to get out of jury duty. Now, this is God's honest truth. If it was at 2 p.m., I'd have no problem trying to go. I mean,
trying to go.
I still have mental issues, but I would love to be on a jury just to see, to witness it, to experience it, to be able to sit through a trial. Like, we have a mutual friend that sat through a murder trial, and that shit sounded mad interesting. Even though he can make a lot of things that probably aren't interesting sound interesting. I'm like, I would love to sit there and experience that and be a part of the justice system because
I was a part of
the justice system before, but on
the other side.
End. So I'm very
interested in getting a different perspective.
Analytical. And I think I'd be able to process.
Yet you did everything you could do to get out of this.
Analytical. Very analytical.
Once again, you did in spite of the fact that you were extremely interested.
I am, but I can't. There's other things that prevent me. And one is the people aspect. Two is the mourning aspect. If you get rid of one or the other, I'd be able to try.
So if it was evening,
absolutely,
and
it was
a bunch of people, or if it was morning and only you,
nah. you watch me as the day progresses and you see how in the morning I'm dead, but after about 1, 2, 3 o'clock, people, while everyone else is getting tired, they ate their lunch, I'm starting to get a little bit of life in me. So I
guess one of the things that stumped me was the process for the parish or the county to make him appear or to ensure his appearance.
Oh, the jump out boy?
Yeah, because like what I said, I had no clue that
I loved it.
That other than subpoenas, I had no clue that they did that.
You remember last year when we were at work and I'm looking at my camera and there were two cops at the door? Mm-hmm,
that was them trying to do
I
that,
bet
you think?
Because there was no other reason for...
Right, and if they'd been instructed to personally serve you.
So that could have been the same type of situation.
Could have been the same situation.
But anyway, so
they wanted to make sure. But you know, I'm with Becky because do you know what kind of manpower that takes?
Yeah, like
to actually jump out on. Is this what my
taxpayer dollars are
paying
for?
These people who did not show up. Because let me tell you, in this parish alone, I am more than sure that there are many and plenty people who are like throwing or shredding juror summons.
Oh yeah, those assholes. Yeah. Looking at my juror number two, I was juror number 277. So that means probably about 300 plus of these went out.
Right.
And I'm just like,
but again, you know the reason why so many go out? Because they know people like you and right. the rest of your crew are not either not going to show up or they're going to find some reason not legally to show right. up.
So that's what I want to go over now. So ladies and gentlemen, the way I got out of jury duty and
he got a crooked person to do some things.
It's no secret that I do suffer from a mental illness, or as my attorney says, multiple mental disorders. And I'm like, shit, I got more than one. What the fuck? Yo, I had to call my attorney and say, is this going to affect anything else in my life? Fuck. So anyway, I talked to my psychiatrist and I let him know. And my psychiatrist basically agreed with me that I'm unable to be around people, especially when just the mere fact that receiving this summons in the fashion that I did caused numerous panic attacks, yes. which I suffer from.
Major anxiety.
Yes. So anyway, he wrote me a letter saying that now this is one of the things he actually told me too, is the word Jesus Christ. What was that? No, the wording. That's one of the things he told me is the wording has to be very specific in his letter, which is, and that's something that I know from other situations, but it is not, it needs to explicitly say he is unable.
Correct.
And he cannot be a juror. So got a doctor's note and the parish accepted that and excused me of jury duty. So other ways. So financial hardship.
So nope. Nah.
What if? Okay.
So wait. So there used to be, well, and strictly in the state of Louisiana, there used to be an exclusion for judges, lawyers, officers of the courts, officers, you know, police officers. Used to be. Now there is an exclusion for people that are 70 and older. And what's the other one? There are two exclusions. People that are 70 and older, and I think, if you've served
in the two years
prior to the summons. Those are the two definite exclusions.
Can't that extend to like family members of law enforcement?
Nope.
No. Okay, no, because I said, there used to be an exclusion. Mm. There is no exclusion anymore lawyers, judges, and officers.
To me.
Now, you can't, because you used to just check a box, I'm an officer of the court, or I'm a police officer, or I'm a judge, or I'm a lawyer. Nah. Now it's either 70 or older, or you served on a jury 2 years prior to receiving that summons.
So look, I got my summons right here with all of the
reasons.
Yeah, 70 and over, a temporary exemption. That means this time only. That means you don't mind being a juror, but you can in the future. And in the future, 70 and over, permanent exemption this time and all. If you reported for jury duty or were given jury duty summons within 2 years, not a U.S. citizen, interdicted, that's what I was. We'll get back to that. Under indictment or a convicted felon where your civil rights have not been restored. I no longer live in the parish or county. Please provide us with your new address with documentation. I recently moved to this parish or county.
And you haven't been there a year.
Right. Mm-hmm. And again, provide documentation. And then it says the person whom this summons is directed is deceased. So that's it.
Yeah.
That's it, right.
Well,
it could be different in other places.
Right. But. That is a listing of the things they will accept, but the law actually allows for other reasons, one of which Dan utilized. If you are unable because of physical or mental disease, and the physical or mental disease is such that you cannot actually perform your duty as a juror. So Dan utilized that with the help of his handy dandy psychiatrist
and attorney.
Yeah.
So what are some of the others though? Because I saw on the back of it there you can request excusal for financial hardship.
You can, but it's not 100%. So I know someone that actually got out of jury duty because of financial hardship, but the way they did it, they were the sole proprietor of their house.
Mm-hmm. Sole proprietor of their household / business. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, they were a sole proprietor. And when they received the summons, it was during the time of the year where they actually make the majority of their money. So they had to, wrote a letter, sent in documentation showing the court that if they were to be picked for a jury, and this lasted, because you never know, like the person that you were talking about
a week earlier,
actually, well, no, I don't know. It was him. Might have been somebody else, but I know somebody got on the jury. Jury had to be sequestered.
Oh, no, that wasn't him.
And the jury was sequestered for a month. So you think about someone who works for themselves, legit business. That is their only source of income. And FYI, jury pay is not the greatest. You 40. Get like $20.
I think it's
something like that. From what
I was
reading,
it was 40. 40 and then another 10 for lunch, I think it was. So $50
a day. $50 a day. Okay. And as opposed to the person was in this business, they were making something like
six figures a day.
A day, give or take. So here it is, for a month, you cannot engage in your business. That basically would kill you. It would kill your business, kill your lifestyle. And the court bought it.
So speaking of another financial hardship, it might not be as impactful, but let's say I booked a cruise and I've made my payment.
Bruh, you go beyond, duty.
Look,
you are
deciding to disrupt my life.
Are going to be on jury duty.
Money's committed to this.
I looked that up too. And I've seen people who had non-refundable thousands of dollars going overseas, yes, and they still had to go to jury duty. Right. However, one of the things you can do in a situation like that is you can ask to be rescheduled. You can get online, like in our parish, you can get online and ask to be, but you can't have two no-shows
on your record. That's right. You cannot reschedule when you have no-shows. Mm-hmm. Yeah, believe me, Dan, try.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the crazy thing is.
But what about, like, say, a single mother? Single mother, kids.
So there is, and that's something that's really case by case.
Mm-hmm.
And you're really at the whim of the jury commissioner, because they're the ones that decide whether or not your case is, or your circumstance is, egregious enough. But I mean, in yours, I guess they said, shit, we don't want this dude to go postal in the courthouse and start slashing people. We don't know what you go do. You kind of squirrely, so they ain't know.
Mm-hmm.
But, in a case, like I said, in my experience, that sole proprietor thing, person got out. I have or know of someone who got out because they were the sole caretaker of their child who was had MS, I think it was. And they actually allowed this person out of jury duty. So if you are the sole caregiver for a family member and you can prove everything, you have to have the proof to back it up.
Yep.
So if I've seen that happen. And I mean, state of Louisiana, they're pretty lenient. But you have to have, as I said, a very legitimate reason. And it can't be, oh, I'm going to lose out on my trip to Paris.
Yo, you want to know some cold shit, though? Two cases that I was reading. One was a man's, he was an elderly man. His spouse literally just died 3 days before he was set to.
And they made him do it.
So he got up. And they asked, you know, and other jurors even was like, this dude looked like he was unhinged and he was dead himself.
Mm-hmm.
Got up and asked if he could be excused because his spouse just died like 3 days ago. Judge says, no, I think it's a good thing for you to be here. Mm-hmm. Like, what the fuck?
Who, you don't know me.
Exactly. And the second one I saw, they sent out 150 summonses. Two people showed up. The deputies from the courthouse went outside into shopping center parking lots and started handing random people
summonses
and said, you have 1 hour to report to the courthouse for jury duty. Man, I wish a motherfucker would. Bitch, you about to see how crazy I am. Fuck. But that's some cold shit. Nah. So I just wrap up my thought with this is, I have a problem, and I stated this on A Few Screws Loose, with people telling me what to do or trying to force me to do something, because I am of the belief and motto that you cannot make me do anything I don't want to do. I know that there are harsh consequences sometimes.
But let's explore this.
Okay.
You say you have an issue with people forcing you to do something.
Trying to force me.
Yeah, right. Authority. Look, right. Believe me, I know that he has ODD. He does. That is amongst his mental
multiple difficulty disorders.
Correct.
Right.
But so here's the thing. It's not that they are forcing you to do something.
They're trying to.
No. They're not
giving you a choice.
They're not trying.
Show up or this is going to happen.
Right. They're not trying to force you to do something. What they are doing is saying, please come and help us. Please do something that you should be civically honored to do.
Is it illegal for me not to do it?
Yes.
Okay. So therefore, you are trying to force me.
It is illegal for you to kill someone.
Right. You're trying to force me not to kill people. Someone. Exactly.
I'm trying to. Exactly. It is illegal for you to run a red light. No.
I've done it.
I know. But see, here is. What I'm saying is not that people are forcing you to do anything. What they are doing is setting out guidelines by which our society functions.
Right. So what I'll say is anytime you try to either tag on a little, what we call lanyap, which is you going to jail if you don't do this. Anytime you try to tag on something like that and say you're going to jail or some kind of harsh consequences.
You're more apt to say F you and right. I am not now, you can't make me.
There's the same guy that another guy we know who is when he wants to get shit done or he wants people to do things, he takes a different approach. He takes a, hey, can you help me out here? Even though he has every right to say, this is what the fuck you're about to do, or this is a consequence. But he takes the approach of, hey, can you give me a hand? I really need some help with this. And it's funny watching how people respond to that. So anyway, say that to say, fuck you. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. That's what got my ass locked up back in the day. That's what kept me in there for 3 years because I was only supposed to be there for like 60 days. I think I was there for three and a half years because nobody's telling me what to do. But anyway, this ain't my therapy session.
See, that's your problem.
That's part of my problem. It is. You're right.
Yeah, you got that whole old. See, that's exactly you had multiple mental difficulties.
But here's, now this is for me. This is my drop the mic moment. Okay, here we go. We ain't dropping the mic though. But if I do not want to come and I feel as if I have no other choice but to come, and I'm harboring resentment. Most people resent jury duty. Is that the type of person you really want on a jury?
Hell,
that person is not going to be fair because that person is pissed off.
Yeah, but you know what?
You're probably going to get more guilties out than not guilty.
Exactly right. If I'm the prosecutor, if that's the type of case that you're hearing, if I'm the prosecutor, hell yeah, I definitely want you on my jury, because if you pissed off enough to send somebody to jail. But
let me ask you this too. You need emergency surgery to remove little Ricky. Do you want the doctor that doesn't want to be there, or do you want the doctor that wants to be there?
Man, I ain't never gonna have no emergency surgery, because see, Ricky gone. But here, see, this is the way I look at jury duty. And the thing is, I was on a jury. I had jury duty once, and I actually went, and it was quite an experience. I would go again. They never send me this shit. I don't know if like they got my name tagged and don't invite this bitch back or something. I don't know if that, like, the people were freaked out or whatever because I was so eager to be there. I don't know. They just don't want me. I don't know. Because this is the way I think about jury duty. You know, in the law says that we have the right to a jury of our peers.
Right.
Right. So the way I think about it is just a way for me to help the next person. If, you know, I'm on a criminal trial, it's like I want to see justice served. True justice, not somebody else's version of justice.
Jury nullification.
No, I want to see real justice. I want to be a part of a group of people who listen and decide, wait, did this person really do this, or is this person being railroaded? You know, if I could be on every jury in every criminal trial, I would want to be on that, honestly,
was my first thought too, is I would love to do the same thing, because in all honesty, especially where I live in the parish of Jefferson, there's not the black population is pretty low, and a lot of the crime, unfortunately, is committed by our people
black and brown people.
So I would have loved to been a part of a diverse, or made a jury diverse. And I have nothing against doing that. I just have issues, y'all. But that's the first thing that came to mind. And if you go back and read my tweet from weeks ago, I said I would love to be able to help black or brown person. Get something, like, not get away with something, but basically be treated fairly.
Fairly, right. And that's what I think when I think jury duty. And I know a lot of people get ticked off about it, but for me, I encourage people to go, because especially people that I know, because I think to myself, well, at least I know that there may be someone on the jury that would want to do the right thing, you know? And that's the way I think about it, or I thought about it when I was on the jury. It was like,
so yeah, what case did you see?
It was actually civil. It wasn't criminal. And
you should be excluded from that shit then.
Why?
Were you an attorney at the time?
Yeah.
That's why.
I think that's why they don't want me back. I think that's why they was like, shit, we don't need her to come back. I think that's exactly why they didn't want. But my mom, she went, she jury duty once, and she was on a criminal trial that lasted a week. And at the end, they found the dude guilty. And my mom is glad that they never asked her to come back, because she said they were filing out. And the one good thing is they had plexiglass around the jury box. And it's a good thing that they did, because she said, as they were filing out, they heard bam. And my mom said that she thought that someone had shot a gun. But what it was, the defendant after he was found guilty, he picked up the chair and he threw it at the jury, where the jury box. Mm-hmm. And like she said it's a good thing that they actually had this plexiglass around, because it would have hit one of them. But said loud, bam, everybody hit the deck because they thought somebody was shooting. And then she came home and she was like, man, I was so scared. And I hope they never called me again. And they never did.
They never called again. So talking to another one of our associates, Denial, he went into the jury pool and I forget what he said happened, but he was walking out and someone followed him out as he was walking down the stairs and said, "Hey, juror." So he's like, I had a feeling they were talking to me, but I just kept walking, didn't look back. Mm-hmm. "Hey, juror, I'm innocent, you bitch." Mind you, he hadn't even been placed on any. So he was like, I hope I do get chosen for your trial there, sir.
All right.
But yeah, and that's another danger is New Orleans is so small. And Jefferson Parish, same thing. I mean, let's call it all New Orleans for all intents and purposes.
You know people. And you
even,
see people.
Even if you don't know people,
you know people who know people.
Multiple times and not even know it. So
on that, because think about Officer Michelle.
Yep.
She sees people that she sees in the jail quite often out in the wild, so to speak. So,
and yeah, but that's a testament to is Officer Michelle, is if you treat people with just a little bit of dignity and you treat them even under the harshest circumstances, if you treat them with a little bit of dignity and they do see you in the streets and they know that you're a officer or a corrections officer, they'd be more likely not. They might just say, hey, what's up?
No, and that's exactly what she says. It's not like they come up to her and be like, yeah, you would have bit that did whatever, right, whatever. She says that they come up to her and be like, yeah, I remember you. Exactly. And this and that and the other. And they have real conversations. Kind of like
teachers.
Yeah. Exactly right.
I've done that too. Like when I was a teenager, after I got out, I would see some of the COs. And I'd be like, yo, what's up? So-and-so, yo, what's up? Because all except for one of them, we was going to jump his ass if we ever seen him, but we never saw him. But like all the cool people were like, I mean, we were teenagers and they were like in their 20s. So it's like we weren't really that
far apart in age. No, but see, and you said it. That's the thing. People are people. Whether you are black, white, purple, yellow, green, criminal, innocent, whatever. People are people. And you said it. It's all about treating people the way you want to be treated, whomever, wherever you find them.
Just don't end up in St. Tammany.
The moral of the story, huh?
Well, we do have a St. Tammany story, but that's for another time, ladies and gentlemen. So anyway, just to summarize really quickly, if you have mental health problems or mental disorders, multiple mental disorders, such as myself, get your doctor to write you a note if you feel as if you cannot be a juror or be on serve on a jury.
Or a legitimate physical reason. Unlike, man, I just can't sit down for a long time because my feet swell up and I've been trying to get Chiquita Banana to write me a letter and
my hairdresser. So you have that if you're if you work away, if you work out of state, so offshore, if you work on a cruise liner, airplanes, stuff like that, you have a good chance. If you're a college student and you're away from home, you also, that's an automatic excusal. So look on your jury summons and it'll give you a lot of examples. And if not, jump online. But
just don't say that you've been interdicted.
Explain that to me, because I accidentally said that I was interdicted. And let me tell you why. Ladies and gentlemen, let me read this to you first so I can tell you why I checked this box. So it says interdicted, provide physician or court certification of mental or physical condition. I looked up the word interdiction on Google and it said unable to, prohibit it from, or barred or some shit like that. So I'm like,
That's me.
Yeah, that, I got a doctor. That's physician's notice, mental disorder. Interdicted. Nope. So what is interdiction?
All right. So interdiction in the state of Louisiana is something. It is an actual proceeding. It is an actual status. And what it means is you do not have the ability to handle your person, meaning your body, and or your estate or your business, your money or whatever. So in this particular proceeding, you go into court and you have to have, or someone goes into court and says that you can't handle your body, you can't handle your finances, you can't handle your other business. And because of that, because of some physical or mental illness that you also have to have proof via doctor's notes or your medical records that you can't. And they appoint what's called a curator or an under curator. And what these people do is act in your stead. So that is what interdiction is. It's basically you being given keepers.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what that is. You are not interdicted. Well, just to let you know.
Technically.
No.
Technically, I
Becky,
am.
Becky could be your keeper.
Yes.
But she's not.
So like Britney Spears. Because she has like her father is her.
Her father is like her manager. That's different. But she can still act for herself. Yeah. Someone who's been interdicted cannot act for themselves.
So basically, at all. It would be
Vines. That's the other girl.
Somebody who is a Stephen Hawking, maybe. Well, he had a brain.
Right. So let's take, for instance, as an example. So say that you've had a stroke,
mm-hmm.
and because of this stroke, you can't move, you can't speak, but you're still alive, and you have an estate, you have business, you have things that you can take care of, you need to take care of. Well, you can no longer give someone power of attorney because you can't speak, you can't write, no one knows, you know, what your mental ability is. So in order for someone to be able to take care of you and the rest of your financial and other business, they would have to go into court, show the court that you're physically and or mentally unable to take care of yourself and your finances. And the court would appoint you as the person over body and estate.
Let me ask you this real quick, too, because I feel like this is a what would Ann do type of question. Why would you expect somebody to know what interdicted means if you're not providing a definition? Much like, why would you expect someone to know what jury nullification is? So, bitch, I'm motherfucking interdicted. You are not interdicted.
No. And here's the thing. Only you, anybody else, see, which is once again another part of his multiple mental difficulties. What person will look at some shit and go, oh yeah, that's me. Let me look this up. Oh yeah, that's me.
It you know, was the- a single word, interdicted. So I looked up the word and I said, yes.
See what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. Normal people would not Google some shit and go, oh yeah, that sounds like me.
Sounds like me. That is me.
They do that all the time with Dr. Google.
Well, I know a Dr. Google, right. Dr. Google.
There could be a legal Google or a dictionary Google.
Ladies and gentlemen, interdict, past tense, interdicted, prohibit or forbid something. Society will never interdict sex. Intercept and prevent the movement of a prohibited commodity or person.
Mm-hmm.
The police established roadblocks throughout the country for interdicting drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So to prohibit or forbid, I am forbidden by my doctor. He gave me a note. What?
Good day to you.
This has been another episode of Black Law and Legalized, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you walk away with something. Hope you enjoy the show. Please keep up with us on social media, Black Law Podcast. Keep up with me. I'm one of your hosts, Dan, at I Am Dan on Drugs on both Twitter and Instagram. Don't forget, got another podcast twice a month about my multiple mental disorders, about mental health in the Black community, because I do suffer from mental illness, and that is A Few Screws Loose.
I am another host that's joined on this podcast.
The Baxter.
RTB. She came in hot today.
Afro Becky. That's me.
And I am just Anne, the third part of your host set. And you can follow me on Twitter at ITellLegalize. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Thank you for making this a great place to be. Mm-hmm. Wait, really?
What was that? Some gangster shit.
You stupid.
Be careful.
Peace. Bye.